Stan Christian, greetings in Jesus' name. I'm happy to be here and worship with you. Again, I feel like I've been gone for too long. It's good to be back and worship with you. I did enjoy my time of traveling, though. I did find out after I was ordained that you don't just travel and not get past the preaching part. You're probably going to be asked to preach, but that's all right. Because as we talked in Sunday school, when churches get together, it encourages you. Last Sunday we were at the Life in Christ congregation. First time I was ever there. Second Sunday that they had it in a new building. They're meeting in a new building there. We're getting ready to go on the trip and my children say, "Do we have to go, Dad?" "Yeah, you got to go along." So we went along. Well, we got done down there and we were getting ready to leave in the evening. "Dad, do we have to go home?" "Yeah. Friendships are made." And so I encourage you. You want to be strengthened? Go to another conservative church sometime when you're on. If you're going traveling. Take the time to go to a church service in the conference. They'll be blessed, and I'm sure you will be too. I also thought of Life in Christ Church as I pondered about this message this morning. It's Father's Day. I'm sure you probably know me by now. I'd like to preach a Father's Day message. But there's a church that they're meeting in now. They did a little different there because there is still another worship service in the building. With plans that they're going to eventually get the building given to the Life in Christ congregation. But we had a worship service and we start out with devotions and then we go right to the message. After the message, we go downstairs and have Sunday school. While the other congregation meets upstairs. And afterwards, we got together for a fellowship meal. Those upstairs and us downstairs. We sat together. And as I pondered that and the statements that were made from the people there, it's a church that don't have children. It's only old people there and maybe just a handful of them. What's missing? They saw the children running around at the fellowship meal, and it touched them. And one of the brothers said, "That's what we're missing." I've entitled the message this morning, "Where Are the Fathers? Where Are the Fathers?" When you hear a title like that, you might say, well, you're talking in a church. Why do you title a message that? But I trust you can bear with me. I got this title from Jeremiah 5, verse 1. You can turn in your Bibles to that. We live in a world that is wicked. There's many children that don't know where their fathers are. It's such a mixed up relationship. They spend the weekends with their father. They spend the weekdays with their mother. Or maybe it's the other way around. So mixed up. Jeremiah is talking to God's people here. And he's warning the Jews. And this is what he says in verse 1 of chapter 5. "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it." Pull my title out of that. Where are the fathers? Can we find a man, a father? In the world about us, can we find it? But then let's bring it closer home. fathers, are we filling our role? Are we being the fathers, the men that we are called to be? Or are we still out in the broad places? Are people still looking around, even our children in the church, and saying, where's a man? It was a futile search for an upright man in Jeremiah here. Fathers passed on to you something. My father passed something on to me. Am I going to pass it to the next generation? You may say, well, we're first generation Christians. I don't know if we have any here. I didn't look totally back through our congregation here. But if you are, my father was a first generation. But he had a father figure. Brother Harry took him in. And bless him, he helped him through. Fathers, what about us today? There's a world of children out there that don't know their father and they need somebody to help them. There's children that the Lord has given us through birth. They need us as fathers. Are we filling it? 3 points for the message this morning. I want to try to break them down a little bit. There was many ways I felt I could have taken a message like this, but there was a card I saw that said it this way. It said dads, but I'm going to put fathers there. Fathers inspire, encourage, and guide through example, through wisdom, and through love. The last part of that's my 3 points I want to look at this morning. Through example, through wisdom, and through love. Fathers, are we inspiring our children? Are we encouraging and guiding them in these three areas? Let's look at example first. Turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4. One verse I want to read here. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. When you were a youth, your father gave you something. I trust he did. I trust he gave you an example of this list here. And he encouraged you to be an example yourself of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Did your father help you through to a life of purity? Did he ever tap you on the shoulder and say, we don't talk like that? Did he encourage you to enter into the church service with the believers? I trust he did. But examples, Deuteronomy 6. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Well, familiar words for us. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Example. Example. Teaching your children daily. Fathers, do we live it in our hearts so? Are we the example that our children can follow? Or when they follow us when we're in our house or walking by the way, they see inconsistencies. And it discourages them. Where are we at, fathers? Are we teaching them by our example? And I listed a number of examples here. One of them is prayer. First one I have is I think of an example that a father needs to give to his children. It's prayer. Do your children know you pray for them? Or is it something that they only hear at mealtime? And that's all. Or do they know that their father prays? Has a special prayer place somewhere? I trust your children know that you're a praying father and that you pray for them. The second example I have, Bible reading. Bible reading. Family worship. Fathers leading out in family worship, the Bible is sacred to them. Life gets busy. Yes, fathers, we get tired. I'm not talking about the time the schedule doesn't hold out that you can't work it in. But how important is it? Do we overlook it? Really quick. I preach to myself, not just to you. Be an example to our children in Bible reading and prayer. What about in our words? What about in our words? I don't remember a lot of degrading comments when I was growing up. Tearing others down. Fathers, let's watch our tongue. James 3 says about how the tongue is such a little member, and we're studying that. But it can do so much damage. To others about us, but on our children. And our children. What about the words we speak to our children? What about it? Do we make degrading comments to them? Do we tear their emotions all down? Do we do damage to them for the rest of their life? Fathers, where are we at? Where's our example to them? Are they going to make it through that they can teach the next generation by their example? Another example I have is support for the work of the church and the school. Do your children know that you'll be there? If at all possible, you'll be there to help in the church. You're standing behind the school. What's your example that's being read from your life? You can inspire, you can encourage, and you can guide them through life by your example. Proverbs 13. A few verses I want to read. Proverbs 13:22. A good man, a father, leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. It's not speaking about just to our children, but we instill in our children something by our example and by the life we live, that they're going to rise up and they're going to want to teach it to their children. Because Dad was that way. And it left an impression on my life and it helped me through life. And I want to give it to my children. Example that is passed on from generation to generation. The world, the wealth, says here in verse 22, the last part, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. The world's going to look in and say, we're missing it. We don't have that wealth. Last thing, I have one example. So what are our children going to say when we're dead and gone? Generation to generation, and then we pass off the scene. What's our children going to say? Is our example going to live on? I trust it is. I trust our examples of fathers is inspiring and encouraging and guiding our children. The second one. Fathers inspire, encourage, and guide through wisdom. If you're in Proverbs, turn back to Proverbs 4. I'd like to read the first 9 verses. Wisdom. Wisdom. We need wisdom to raise our families. To be this example that we talked about before. We need wisdom from on high. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Solomon's writing here. And in verse 3, we see Solomon looking at his father David. And as he's writing about it, he said, I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Solomon had a heritage that he was gleaning from as he looked at his father and his mother. The wisdom that they gave to him. We know Solomon as the wisest person, and God blessed him with that. But if he went ahead David to give him a solid foundation of his wisdom to start out with, would it have been something that God would have gave to him. James 1:5 says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Fathers, do we ask for that wisdom to pass on the faith to our children? Where are the fathers that are willing to do it? Or do we want the wisdom just for ourselves and our pursuits in life? Wisdom. Well, we need fathers that give wisdom by their example, as we had talked about before. Wisdom by their example, giving it to their sons and daughters. But how do they give it? I believe there's some other ways that they give good wisdom. Solomon's saying here, verse 4, he taught me also. He taught me also. Ye children, hear the instruction of thy father. So as I think of wisdom, your fathers, are we verbalizing our wisdom to the children? Why we ask them to do what we do? Or is it just for our own benefit? Proverbs 13:1 also says, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Fathers, giving verbal wisdom to our children. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles. As we think of this passage, and Solomon writing about, hear ye children the instructions of a father, and his being beloved of his father. 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 28. Verse 9 and 10. We have an example of David sitting with Solomon, and he's giving an instruction. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the Lord thy Father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Instructions from David to Solomon. We know the account later, Solomon did build the house that David instructed him to. Fathers, it starts at a young age. We need to have our children understand that what we say needs to be followed through. We give verbal instruction to them, but it changes as they get older. It does. When they're young, they must obey because you're parents. But as they get older, they're starting to want to know why. Why you ask that? Why you want us to do that? Fathers, are we willing to take the time it takes to explain our instructions to them? Back to Proverbs. I'm going to read a couple verses in Proverbs 6. Read 20 to 23. My son, keep my father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk to thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instructions are the way of life. I read those verses because the fact I want to pull out of there, in verse 23, For the commandment is a lamp and the law is light. When you have light, you know what it is. Children, want to understand what the instructions are. Lives that are open. Want to know why you want them to do it. They need to know what's expected of them. If we don't have that openness, if we don't have the groundwork laid as a young child, and if when they grow older we don't explain to them, I believe we can start into this of, it gets discouraging to them. It's no longer inspiring and encouraging and guiding them. Yes, it might guide them until they're of age. But they get discouraged because I can't do it right for Dad anyhow. Shame on us fathers. Let us give instructions to them, that is understanding, and that they know what you're talking about. Wisdom is given to our children also by the rod of correction. By the rod of correction. Solomon wrote many passages. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod of reproof, give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse 17. Correct thy son, he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall delight unto thy soul. The rod of correction. You want to keep your children when they grow older? You want to keep them on the straight and narrow way? Following your example? Guiding them later on in life? Don't fall to the world's allurements that you don't spank. You don't discipline. Solomon knew that the rod of reproof, of correction, discipline is needed. It gives wisdom to the children. Well, a child that follows his father's wisdom and his direction in his life there's much joy that comes from it. When the verbal instructions are what they ought to be, and there's correction given when they sidestep, children find security in that. There's inspiration, they can be encouraged, and there's guidance that comes to their life through it. Fathers, we won't be able to give wisdom to our children. We can to a certain extent, but if we don't have the wisdom of God, if we didn't ask for God's wisdom in our heart first, don't expect to give it through the rod of correction. Don't expect your children to obey as they ought if you aren't following God and His wisdom. It's that example again. But we need God's wisdom first as we handle dealing with our children, teaching them and admonishing them. First Thessalonians 2:11. And the Amplified says, "For you know how as a father dealing with his children, we used to exhort each of you personally, stimulating, encouraging, and charging you to live lives worthy of God." That's handing wisdom on to our children. Pass it on, the wisdom. Stimulating them and encouraging them and charging them. Live lives for God. But we do it by our example as we follow God in our lives. The last part, through love. Through love. Turn with me in your Bibles to back to Genesis 37. How do we give love to our children? This is kind of a negative point, maybe, as I think about this love, but I wanted to pull it in here. God forbid that we as fathers would show partiality towards our children. Love without partiality. Genesis 37, verse 4. We have Jacob. Joseph was his 17 years old. He was one of the younger ones. Now Israel, which was Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age and he made him a coat of many colors. And we know the story how his brethren got jealous. And they couldn't stand it. And finally, they took Joseph and threw him in that pit. I believe it started with a father that showed partiality to his children. We know God worked in that situation and it all came out good. God had a plan in it. And Joseph was able to see it. Because he walked close enough to his father, I believe, and his father taught him to love God. But for fathers, love needs to be without partiality. It will cause feelings. It's not going to inspire our children. It's not going to encourage them. Do all your children, so the question comes, do all your children feel love flowing towards them? Yes, children are different. There's some times when differences need to be made. Do we take the time to explain to them why the difference is made? And through it all, mostly, do they feel your love for them? Without partiality. Fathers, there should be plenty of love to go to all your children. Well, what happened when there was partiality? Last of verse 4 there says, and they could not speak peaceably unto him. Communication was cut off. Good communication was cut off and it was strained. Love was lost. And was no longer flowing back and forth. How else will love be shown from a father? Trust will be shown without partiality. The second one I have is love should be shown in faithfulness to his wedding vows. Faithfulness to his wedding vows. You know those wedding vows. Will you, in the presence of God and these witnesses, take the sister by your side to be your wedded wife? Will you love and cherish her, provide and care for her in health and sickness, in prosperity and adversity, exercise patience, kindness, and forbearance toward her, and live with her in peace as becometh a faithful Christian husband, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her as long as ye both shall live? It is in the context of marriage that God puts you in the place of a father. A union with husband and wife. You made that vow to love your partner. Through health, sickness, prosperity, adversity, life. Through life. Life brings many changes. It calls for a love that is unconditional. We just give it. That wife that we said our vows to that day, it don't take long and you start seeing that we're human. We're human. But is your love flowing through it? Fathers, God planned that in a bond between husband and wife where the love is flowing, that's where He places children. Struggles come. Children can challenge that. The best thing, fathers, that you can give to your children is love for your mother, for their mother. Love for their mother. It'll inspire them, it'll encourage them, it'll guide them through life. It'll bring stability to their life. You want to see the scars that come from broken homes? Look in the world about us. Scars that come from broken homes. Fathers, let's be those fathers that are living true to our marriage vows. May we live in such a way, in loving to our wife, that our children, when they start looking for companions, can look at you as a father or you as a mother and say, I want one like that. Love. Give to them love. Third one I have under love is give to your child love. How is that done? How do you give your children love? And we've talked on some of this already. I've preached some on this. But there's that little four-letter word, T-I-M-E. Fathers, we get so busy. I'm not talking about time when we can go boating. I'm not talking about time when you can go fishing. They all have their place. Spending time with your children, doing something, has its place. But what about the time when you're busy? And your child wants to ask you a question. That's when love is really shown. Do you take time to stop and explain it? Be available to give time to your children. Fathers, where are the fathers? We live in a busy time. Where's the fathers that's going to be willing to take the time? We also need to give our child love by appreciation to them. When they do something, give them appreciation. Give them praise. It inspires them and encourages them. It'll help your child to have a positive outlook toward life, and not a pessimistic one. So I trust as we've gone through the message this morning, may we be those fathers that inspire, encourage, and guide our family through example, through wisdom, and through love. Because in the world you're going to look and say, where are the fathers? But I trust in our midst, we're those people that show that love. We give them that wisdom, and they have an example that they can follow through life. May God bless you as fathers, as you fill your role in the home and take the lead. Let us kneel for prayer.